Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The headline in the Washington Post says young people are flocking to astrology, but it comes with risks. Why the appeal of astrology overall, but especially with young people today? And is astrology simply a harmless set of beliefs and practices? Is it compatible with Christian belief? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about a Washington Post story on young people and astrology, Marcia Montenegro. She spent 8 years as a professional astrologer. She's founder of Christian Answers for the New Age. Marcia, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks so much for having me on.
Are you surprised that astrology is making a popular comeback?
No. And actually, I would say it's maybe not really a comeback. I think it's always been popular. Polls have consistently shown usually around a 30% of the population when they do surveys say they believe in astrology. So, and I think it's always been at least 25%, which is pretty high. So I think maybe it's surged a little bit now, so that could be maybe called a comeback, but I think it's always been popular.
The Washington Post quotes several people who say that astrology gives them insights into themselves and into their lives. How do you respond to that?
Yes, that does not surprise me. There's actually psychological factors that have been shown that make people believe things when they're told things about themselves. Like sometimes you like to be around people, but then you also need time alone. Or you're usually patient, but certain things make you mad. And people will say, yes, that's me, because that actually fits a lot of people. So I think people want to find a pattern. They want to find something about themselves that they think will help them understand themselves, or perhaps it makes them feel special. And so they will latch on to anything that sounds true. And then they'll say, well, yeah, that's an insight because, you know, I am like that. So now I know why I do that or something. It's very easy to find a pattern and to think something fits you. I think psychology has done studies on these kind of things, and they say they work by confirmation bias, also by just general kind of coincidence that fits a lot of people, by self-validation, by self-deception. So actually, because you may not know yourself as well as you think you do, but there's certain things that you think you like to think are true about yourself. You know, like I would stop and help anybody or something like that. And maybe you wouldn't really do that, but you don't want to think that about yourself. So you'll check that box. We're very subjective when we're analyzing ourselves. So that's why these kind of things seem to work.
What is the appeal of astrology?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of them. I think one of them is people are curious and they also like to hear about themselves. That's kind of our default setting as human beings. We like somebody to talk to us, about who we are. And it goes back to that idea of, you know, wanting to feel special or maybe wanting to confirm certain things that you think about yourself. So astrology seems to offer certain information to people, not just about who they are, but maybe how they should be doing certain things at certain times. If they get a little more detail and get those books that tell you about your year, you know, your year is an Aries or something. And then they can look up each month or each week and they can get an idea, they think, of what they should be doing that will work out best for them that day. So, and of course that goes for the horoscope column. If you look at that every day, it has some kind of usual general advice or something that might be happening today. Like you might run into trouble at work or something. And so people really are seeking this input about who they are and some kind of advice that they think is coming from some special source that has some kind of insight that maybe they don't even understand how it works, but it's a special kind of knowledge about themselves and their lives, and I think a lot of people seek that.
What are the beliefs and practices of astrology?
Well, astrology is based on the idea, and I'm talking especially about contemporary astrology because astrology has changed over the centuries. I mean, it goes way, way back, when it was only done for kings and rulers in ancient times. And it's changed a lot, and it changed a lot with psychology in the late 1800s and early 20th century. So now the idea of it is that the position of the planets and the sun and moon at the time of your birth are a blueprint of your life. They not only show who you are and your potential, but can also show what you brought in from past lives. That would be if the astrologer doing the reading believes in reincarnation. And I did. When I was an astrologer, I believed in reincarnation. And there's actually a way, there's something you look at in the person's birth chart about past lives that has to do with the moon and the intersection of the moon with the orbit of the sun. So it's called the lunar nodes. And so you can look at that. You look at it for the person's past influences, like from childhood. You look at it for relationships. You look at it for what their talents might be, what their goals should be, ideally, and how to achieve those. So general life information, who you are and general life information. And the astrologer believes, looking at that birth chart, that they are really looking at this very detailed and complicated map of the person, because it is complicated. Because you're looking at not just the planets and what zodiac sign they're in, but you're looking where they are in the chart, which is a circle divided into 12 houses. The sun in the first house is very, very different from the sun in the eighth house, for example. You could get a very different reading. And if it's the sun in Aries in the first house, that's different than if it's the sun in Taurus in the first house. So you get all these complicated technical things you look at in the chart. And the astrologer, partly because it's so complex, if the person is an astrologer and they know all the ins and outs of it, it makes them really believe it because it is so complex. It seems to have depth to it. And it seems like you're getting all this information about the person in all these different avenues of the chart. You just really kind of can go on forever with an Earth chart. So that's the idea of it. The idea is that, and really the philosophy behind it is, or the spiritual belief behind it, is that the universe is working on a level that aligns things. So the sun and moon and the planets being in a certain position at birth isn't a coincidence. It's all, I don't know if I want to say ordained, but it's all set up to operate in a certain way with your soul as you're born. It's all timed for you so that you'll be born with those particular elements in your birth chart. And that will show you your path in this life as sort of a guidance system. So those are the ideas I had about astrology. And a lot of my astrology colleagues, my astrologer colleagues also have the same kind of thinking. So there's a belief that there's a meaning and purpose, but we believe that you could find it in astrology.
Is astrology grounded in any evidence or science?
No, it's not. It's not grounded. Astrology itself is not. Now, it uses some things that are factual. So it uses an ephemeris, which you can get. It's used, you know, I think it's used in astronomy, where you find position of the planets and the sun and moon at certain times of any time of the day. And that's how you calculate the chart. So that's a factual thing, and it's also factual. Certain things will be factual, like the sun being in a certain position or Jupiter's in a certain position. That's a fact. And then when the astrologer is calculating things and looking at the chart, they're using math. You have to use some kind of math. And of course, mathematics is based on the way numbers work. So there's a reality to mathematics. But as far as the meaning that the astrologers are getting from what they see, that is not grounded in science at all. And they've actually done studies and they've found that it actually doesn't correlate to truth. It doesn't correlate to reality. So astrology itself and the meanings that people think they're getting from it are not based on any science or any factual data.
Is it a harmless set of beliefs and practices?
It's definitely not harmless. Now, some people who are very superficial and like to glance at their horoscope just out of curiosity, I don't think that's a good idea because I think you can get sucked into it. They don't maybe even take it that seriously, so they think it's harmless. But the problem is that it can get you interested. So if you start off on a very superficial level, reading the horoscope column, a daily thing that now, of course, people can get on their smartphones very easily, or women's magazines, for example, usually have a horoscope monthly column for the month. And it can get you more interested, especially if you read something and it's true or it comes true. So if you read in the horoscope column that today you will hear from a friend you haven't heard from in a long time, and you actually do hear from that friend, then you think, well, maybe there's something to this. And so then that makes you want to read it again more. And if that happens again, then you get really interested and you might actually decide to consult an astrologer. So I had a lot of clients who started off with a superficial interest in it and then decided they wanted to get more information. So then they wanted to see an astrologer. So it can lead, you know, it can be a door to getting more deeply into astrology.
Why do you think young people are attracted to astrology?
Yes, that article really that was about how there's this surge of interest from younger people. I think there are lots of reasons. One of them is I think our culture, our society, there's no real idea of objective truth in our culture at all. I mean, everything is very relative and subjective. So everything is how you feel about something, what you think is true internally, what seems true for you. So, you know, this whole idea that you can't be critical of anything or anybody because, you know, you have to allow for their truth. I think everything's very subjective and internal. And so people are kind of at sea. There's nothing there that they see or that they like that says, here are the answers, because it seems like everybody's saying, well, you just kind of find the answers for yourself. And so here's astrology. And then we have the other reason it's having a resurgence is just the internet and social media. So social media is, of course, really huge, and especially with young people, for, you know, like TikTok, that's kind of a famous example. And so there are all these astrologers and people with other beliefs on TikTok, and it's very easy to connect with them or find out more about it. So I think social media and the younger generation is more into, you know, using computers and smartphones and whatever technical stuff, and they're more into social media than older ages. So they're right there where all of this stuff is available, and they know how to navigate and find it and connect with people. I think those reasons, really just the technical reasons of social media and smartphones, play into it big time. And then the younger ages are still searching for their identity, who they are, what is their life really about, what should their purpose be. And astrology just feeds into all of that.
Tell us the story of how you became an astrologer.
Yes, my interest in astrology started when I was young. I was a teenager. I can't remember exactly when, but I know by the time I was like 15 in the 10th grade, I was very, very interested in astrology. And I was reading the horoscope column every day, which at that time was written by Jean Dixon, which really dates me, but Jean Dixon, who was very famous for her horoscope column, and it was in like many newspapers. I read it all the time, and she actually came to the area where I was living to speak. I think it was at the press club down in Washington, D.C., and we were living in Maryland. And I talked my father into taking me down there to hear her speak. And I don't think he was thought it was a great idea because he didn't believe in that stuff. He was an agnostic. He did take me. I know he took me because I remember I was so excited and I was there and actually saw her speak. I don't remember at all what she talked about. But my interest grew. And in college, I think I found some literature to read about it. And I kind of became the go-to person for my friends. They would come to me and say, well, you know, Marcia, you know that I'm a Capricorn, and you know Jim is an Aries. Do you think that we can get along? You know, and I would kind of, they would have these kind of questions like that. And they would come to me and ask me because I was viewed as the person who knew about this stuff. And then later, after college, not immediately, but several years later, because immediately I was interested in other New Age areas. But later, I saw that some astrology classes were being offered. I actually had gotten some books, too, and had started reading. And then when I saw the classes were being offered, I decided to sign up. And so I took classes from a professional astrologer to learn it. And it just so happened I was living in the one city in the United States where you could get a business license and practice legally as an astrologer, which is actually in a lot of cities, it's classified under fortune telling and is basically illegal, although usually it's not enforced. So I was able to take this exam, a 7-hour exam, and that qualified me to purchase a business license since I passed it. And I purchased a business license and I became a professional certified astrologer. So I was certified by the city, actually.
Marcia Montenegro is our guest. She spent 8 years as a professional astrologer. We're talking about a Washington Post story on young people and astrology. On the other side, what were her daily practices as an astrologer?
This is Molly Hemingway, encouraging you to listen to my favorite podcast, Issues, Etc. Every day you get in-depth interviews with host Todd Wilkin asking expert guests substantive, thought-provoking questions on all of the important news and issues of our day. The expert guests are in culture, law, ethics, philosophy, theology, and apologetics. Expert guests, expansive topics, always extolling Christ. Issues, Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
You wish your classical school could do more for struggling learners, uncertain where to begin? The Memoria Press Schools Division includes Cheryl Swope, author of Simply Classical, A Beautiful Education for Any Child. The Schools Division will happily assist your school. Memoria Press offers an entire line of special needs resources for teaching math, reading, spelling, and more. Contact schools at memoriapress.com or order directly from simplyclassical.com with coupon code LPR23.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a Washington Post story on young people and astrology. Marcia Montenegro, a former professional astrologer, is our guest. Marcia, what were your daily practices as an astrologer?
Well, I was usually preparing charts for clients that I had. So if I had a client coming to see me, I was taking time to go over their chart, looking at the placement of all the planets where they were and their distances from each other is also part of the interpretation. Initially, I actually was calculating them by hand, but there was someplace out in California that had computers that would calculate the chart for like $2. So I would get the data from the person when they made the appointment, send it to California, and then they would send me a chart. And so that was much faster than me trying to calculate each one. And I would then see the person and do the reading for them. So the preparation was getting the data from the client, getting the chart, and then now, of course, you can probably do all that online, but you couldn't then. And then, you know, spending time going over the chart and getting a lot of the main points as I saw them in my head.
Did this intense interest and activity in astrology lead you into other kind of new age areas?
Now, my interest in astrology did come before some other interests in the new age. I don't know if the astrology led me, because by the time I was taking the classes and before I started getting really into astrology, I was into Hinduism and Buddhism. And also contact with the dead was a major interest for me. And the psychic powers of the mind, you know, telepathy and that kind of thing, like being a psychic, all of that stuff was initially, although astrology was always there, all of those things kind of took my time first. After I became an astrologer, I was totally focused, pretty much focused on astrology. I did have tarot cards. I had taken a class in numerology, so I don't know if it led me into other things, because I think I was already there. I think it just got me more intensely involved in astrology itself and in my what I saw as my career and my calling as an astrologer. But I do think that for many of my clients, it led them into other areas of the New Age, because they would come see me. I would talk to them, and I would often recommend one of my psychic friends for them. And I'd give them the name and number of a psychic or maybe a medium who did supposedly contact with the dead, or a tarot card reader, because I had friends in all those areas. And so for my clients, it certainly led some of them into other New Age areas.
When did you begin to doubt the belief system?
Well, you know, I never actually doubted it. This is the really strange part of my story. the Lord was working on me, and it was over a period of really 9 or 10 months. And what happened is that first he led me, he gave me a compulsion to go to a church. Then I went to a church. I had an experience of feeling God's love there, although I didn't believe in a personal God. So I want people to understand that it's not like I was thinking of the Christian God when I felt this love from God. I didn't understand it, and I didn't understand who God was, but he loved me. That was apparent. And I knew he was a personal God, but I didn't believe in a personal God. So I know this sounds crazy, but this is how I was. And so then not too long after that, I got this very strong impression that God didn't like astrology. And here again, I didn't hear a voice and nobody told me God didn't like astrology. But I got this impression that this God who loved me did not like astrology, but I ignored it. And I ignored it for a few weeks. And then I got a very strong impression that he wanted me to give it up. This was like crystal clear to me that this God was telling me I should give astrology up. And again, I resisted for a short period of time, but then I couldn't resist it anymore. I actually gave astrology up. Now, I was not a Christian. I was not saved at this time. This is what makes my story so unusual and shows that this came from God, because I would not have willingly given it up. I had just finished being president of the Astrological Society. I had been on the board of astrology examiners, the astrologers who formulate and grade the exam that you take in the city to get certified and buy your business license. I was teaching astrology. I was a very active member of the Astrological Society. I had clients even in other countries. So, I mean, why would I give all that up? You know, that was all great. I had finally reached this really good point in my career as an astrologer, and I actually gave it up because of this impression I got from God. And it was very strange. No one understood why I'd given it up. And it was a few weeks later, as I was reading the Bible, when I was actually saved. But that's how I stopped being an astrologer. So it's a rather unusual story. So it wasn't like I had doubts about it or began to think it was evil or something, which of course could happen and has happened with other people, but not with me. So that's what happened. That's how I ended my astrology career.
How do you view astrology now as a Christian?
I view it as a very dangerous thing, because it either looks harmless to people, you know, it looks harmless and fun, or they are really interested in it because they really believe in it. And even a lot of Christians, I get asked about astrology from a lot of Christians because they really think there's something to it. It's really hard for them to think there isn't anything to it because there's a lot of misinformation about that, their verses taken out of context in the Bible to support the idea of astrology. So I see it as very dangerous because it's, number one, it's very appealing to a lot of people, and it's hard to resist something that's appealing, especially if you're not a Christian and you think there's answers there. You see no reason why not explore it. It's dangerous for Christians because they can try to rationalize it. And of course, astrology is a form of divination, which is condemned by God throughout his word. Divination, occult divination, trying to get answers through supernatural methods, which is basically what astrology is, because trying to see a meaning there and see any hidden meaning, that's also divination. So astrology is based very much on hidden meaning, but all astrologers have spirit guides, and I had spirit guides. And spirit guides are, of course, fallen angels, although astrologers don't think that. Astrologers, psychics, everybody in the occult, and anybody active in the New Age has spirit guides. So they see the spirit guides as benevolent, as I did. So when you're getting into astrology, you're crossing a line into a realm that God has forbidden. And this is a realm where deception is the key thing in this area. It's just all deception, but it's very, very tricky. It's very subtle. And astrology, divination, began as part of the practices of people who had turned away from God and were seeking information from false gods, from their false gods. So astrology, all forms of divination and sorcery and spirit contact all come from pagan practices that God addressed in Deuteronomy 18. Verses 10 and 11 give a list of all those practices. And divination is there. And so it's sometimes called fortune telling. So this is all part of a world that is linked to false gods and linked to evil and linked to deception. There is absolutely no benefit in it at all. There might seem to be a benefit, and there might seem to be a short-term benefit, but it is not going to end that way. There's a very high spiritual cost with astrology. And because it's so accessible, that's another reason that it's dangerous. It's so accessible now with the internet. So yes, I continue to warn about it.
Is astrology in any way compatible with Christian belief?
No, it is not. And there's something called the Gospel and the Stars that came about in the, I believe, in the 1800s from various people. It was developed by, I think, Francis Rolston might have been the first one. And then there was a couple other people who wrote Witness of the Stars and Gospel in the Stars, and it's usually referred to as Gospel in the Stars now. And this is a belief that the planets and the zodiac signs, the meaning of them were given to Adam and Eve. And they represent things related to Jesus. So, for example, they'll say that Virgo is Mary, the Virgin Mary, and they'll say Leo is the Lion of Judah. And they have a meaning for each of the zodiac signs that is interpreted in what appears to be a biblical fashion. But this has been completely debunked by many, many people. It's not based on anything historical or objectively true, and it's certainly not based on the Bible. And if God gave this information to Adam and Eve, why is that not told us in the Bible? And this is a huge deception in the church. I kept coming across this when I was at conferences, and Christians would ask me about it or come up to me and want to argue with me because they actually believe in it. And online, I've had the same problem. So it's a deception in the church as well as outside of the church. And it's a deception because it's not based on truth. So no, there's no truth to astrology. There's no truth to Gospel in the Stars.
With only about 30 seconds here, how would you respond to someone who says that they know astrology is an evidence-based, but it seems to work for them? About 30 seconds.
Yes, that's a very common reaction. What I tell people is, yes, it seems to work because you're biased and you may want it to work. And so it's working because of different factors, but it is ultimately not going to give you anything you don't already know, and it may give you false information, and you may categorize yourself falsely. You know, I'm a Leo with my moon in Pisces or whatever. And so it's going to lead ultimately just to pure deception or other things that are also deceptive. So the fact that it seems to work is not the criteria to use, because a lot of false things seem to work. That is not the criteria.
Marcia Montenegro has spent 8 years as a professional astrologer. She's founder of Christian Answers for the New Age. You'll find a link to Christian Answers for the New Age at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Marcia, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll talk to attorney Tom Halverson about an attempt by Lutheran Church Missouri Synod University to reject the governance and oversight of the LCMS. And on Friday, it's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, is looking for an English teacher with a master's degree for the 2023-24 school year. Edwardsville is 30 minutes from downtown St. Louis. The position would involve teaching upper-level, dual-credit English classes. For more information, send an email to Principal Jay Krause, J-A-Y-K-R-A-U-S-E, at melhs.org, jkrause@melhs.org.